Be'ezras Hashem, Beli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learning is dedicated to the Nishmas Avi Mori, Harav David Svi Ben Harav Yosef. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Samaches. We are in the Mishnah on the bottom of Samach Zayin and Beis. The earlier Mishnayos explained the order of the Avodas of the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. We took a break to discuss a little bit about the Sayyar Mishtalech. Now we're back to discussing what would the Kohen Gadol be doing after that was done. So after he gave the Sayyar Mishtalech over to the Ish Iti, who was going to bring it out to the Azazel, Balo Eitzel Par V'Sar HaNisrafin. So he came back to the bull and the goat, which ended up being burnt, right? The bull and the goat, both the Par and the Sar of Yom Kippur, ended up having to be burnt outside the Machaneh. So the actual animal themselves. But first, Balo Eitzel Par V'Sar HaNisrafin, Kira'on V'Hotzei Se'mirin, he ripped open the animal and took out the fats that are going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. Unesanan b'megis, he placed them in a large vessel, like a pot. V'ktirin al-gabei ha-Mizbeach, and he burnt the limbs on the Mizbeach. The Gemara is going to explain, he didn't actually burn the limbs on the Mizbeach right now. This was for the sake of later burning them on the Mizbeach. He had to change his clothing. It didn't quite happen yet, but it meant for the purpose of doing it. Interestingly, this avoda of actually ripping open the animal and taking out the limbs and the fats, was not actually an avoda. So it's interesting that the Kohen Gadol would actually do these. The Migdash David asks, why does this have to be done by the Kohen Gadol? And he answers that this avoda of skinning the animal and chopping it up into pieces and taking out the fats is called an avoda, but it's ksher bizarre. It's one of those interesting hybrids that it's called an avoda and it's ksher bizarre. Even a non-Kohen would be allowed to do that. However, on Yom Kippur, even avodas that are ksher bizarre were usually done by the Kohen Gadol himself, like we find by the Shechita Satamid. Let's continue, says the Mishnah. Kila'on b'miklaos. He then took the carcass of the bull and the carcass of the goat and he wrapped them, he braided them into braids. Meaning he took the actual animals and wound them together so it looked like one animal. Votzion l'beis hasreifa. And that's the way he brought them out to be burnt. After he took out the fats that were burned on the Mizbeach, he then took the actual carcass of the animal and he sent them outside to be burnt outside Yerushalayim. He sent them outside to be burnt outside Yerushalayim. Actually, interestingly, the Rambam says he would send them to somebody else, but the Ibn Ezra says in his commentary on the Chumash in Parshas Achrimos that the Kohen Gadol himself took them outside. The Ramban disagrees with him. Simple words in the Mishnah, Vohutzi on the basis of Sefer, sounds like the Ibn Ezra, but the Rambam in Avodas Yom Kippur writes, it means that he would send it in the hands of somebody else to take them outside Yerushalayim to be burnt. Now, the person who would take the bull and the goat outside Yerushalayim to burn them, they would become Tamei. And their begotten would become Tamei, like it says in Parshas Achrimos, V'hasorefos amichabeis begadav rachatzis b'saro b'mayim. U'me'emesayim etam begadav, they asked the Mishnah, from what point in time did that guy become Tamei who was carrying the bull and the goat outside into the Midbar to burn it? Mishayatzu chutz l'chomos ha'azara. Tanakama says, from the second he walked outside Beis HaMikdash, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishayatzis ha'or baruba. No. Not until he got outside to the place that they would burn it, and they would actually start burning the carcass of the bull and the goat. And once most of the body was burnt, that's when he became Tamei. And that's when his begadim became Tamei. Says the Gemara, Viktiran Salkadaitach. You think that the Kohen Gadol actually burnt the limbs, the fats on the Mizbeach at that moment? What do you mean? That didn't happen till later, when the Kohen Gadol actually changed into his golden begadim and he's makriv of the carbon musaf. which we're going to learn about in tomorrow's daf, or I think later on we're going to learn about it. Maybe tomorrow's daf. So v'ktiras ela ema lehaktiran al gab mizbeach. No, not v'ktiran. Not that he burnt the limbs at this moment. No, he skinned the animal and took the limbs and took the fats out of there. He took the fats out of there and put it in this magus in the pot in order to burn them on the mizbeach later on. Not now. Klon b'miklos, he braided the two animals together. Rav Yochan, kimin klia. He took the carcasses and wound them together as if they were like one animal, like a braid. Like a braid. Tana. Lohaya menatcha nituach basar ola. He would not first skin the animal and then chop it up into the limbs and chop them up into the limbs. Rather, he wouldn't chop them up. He wouldn't first skin the animal and then chop them up like the carbon ola. Ella or al gabe bus, he left the skin on top of the animal. So even though by the carbon ola, you would skin the animal first, but here he would leave the skin on. Says the Gemara, Mina Hanimili. How do we know that when it comes to the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur, he would chop it up into the limbs, but he would not skin it? Says the Gemara, Disanu Linta the Brisa, Rebbe Omer, Ne'emar Kan, when it comes to the power and the sar of Yom Kippur, or Ubasar Uperesh. It says, Visarfu Ba'eshes Orosam Ves, Besarim Ves, Pirsham. So it says, the skin and the flesh and the perish is the excrement that was inside it. V'nemar Lahalan, and later on when it talks about the bull of the Kohen Mashiach, if the Kohen Gadol sins by accident, he would bring a par Kohen Mashiach. There also it was burnt. That's also a chatas that was burnt outside. And there it also says, Or Ubasar Uperish. It says over there, that's in Parshas Vayikra, Ves Or HaPor Ves Kol Besaro Al Rosho Va'al Kura'av V'Kirbo Upirsho. So it says there also, Or Ubasar Uperish. Ma lahalon al yidei nituach velo al yidei hefshit. Just like by the par Kohen Mashiach, they chopped it up into pieces, but they did not skin it first. Afkan, so too the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur, al yidei nituach, they would chop it up, velo al yidei hefshet, but they would not skin it first. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know over there they wouldn't skin it first? V'hasa minolan, how do you know the par Kohen Mashiach, they would not skin it first? They would chop it up into the limbs, but they would not skin it first. Says the Gemara, Desadni, we learned in a brisa. It says, by the par Kohen Mashiach, Ves or hapor ves kol besaro al rosho v'al kruv v'kir bo upirsho v'hotzi. That the insides and the excrement, and you take it out. Melamed shemotzio shalem. This teaches us that you would take it out while it was still whole. So you wouldn't chop it up and skin it prior to that. How could you take it all out at one shot? The only way to take it all at one shot is if it's still together in the skin. So v'kirbo pershov v'hotzi, it says ves or apor ves kol besor al roshov akrov v'kirbo pershov v'hotzi es kol apor mechutz l'machane. So you had to take it out complete. That's by the par Kohen Mashiach. You had to take it out complete. Now, how do we know that they chopped up the bull before you actually burnt it? Yochol. You might have thought, not only do you carry it out while it's complete, that you even burn it while it's all complete. Yochol yisrefenu shalem, you shouldn't chop it up. Ne'emar kan, by the par Kohen Mashiach, it says, ves ora por ves kol besaro, rosho ukra'av, v'ne'emar lahalon, and by the carbon ola, it says, rosho ukra'av. It says, v'archu b'ne'emar kames anezachim, es harosh ves hapader, v'kirbo ukra'av, yichatz b'mayim. Ma'alahal, just like with Ola, al yidei nituach, you chop it up into pieces first before you burn it. Afkan al yidei nituach. So too, by the bull of the Kohen Mashiach, you chop it up before burning it. Ask the Gemara, if you learn after, ma'alahalon, Agide Hevsher. Oh, so if you're learning it from the carbon ola, so maybe you should skin it first. Afkan, so too by the bull of the Kohen Mashiach, Agide Hevsher. You should have to skin it. Talmud Lomar, Vikirbo, Ufrisho, like we said before, by the Par Kohen Mashiach, it says that you have the insides and the peresh all together at the time that you burn it. You don't skin it. My Talmudah says the Gemara. How do you learn that from the Pasuk? I'm Rav Papa. Kishem Shapirsho Bekirbo. Just like the excrement is inside it, you're not going to take the excrement out first. That's disgusting. So you're going to leave it inside it. Kach Bisaro Ba'oro. Just like the excrement is inside the basar, so too the basar is inside the skin. And you don't skin it at the time of the taking it out. And then we also learn out that when you burn it, you do chop it into pieces, but you do not take the skin out first. So from this braisa, we learn out that the par kohen mashiach, we learn out that you chop it up into pieces prior to burning it, gzeira shava, from the ola. And we also learn that you do not skin the animal of the par kohen mashiach from the fact that we compare the flesh to the excrement. So too, the par of Yom Kippur, we learn gzeira shava, the par kohen mashiach, that you chop it into pieces, but you do not skin it prior to burning it. Says the Mishnah. Now the guy was carrying out the bull and the goat, which were wound together outside. From at what moment in time did he become tamei and his begotten became tamei? So Tanakama said from the time he leaves the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Shimon said not until most of the fire was already burning on the animals. So the Gemara is now going to quote a braisa about where we burn the bull and the goat of Yom HaKippurim. And this will be a source for Tanakama that you became Tamei the second after you walk outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa about the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur. It says, Ves parachatos, in Parashas Achrimos, parachatos, Ves sirachatos, Yotzi el michutz lamachane visorfu. You take it outside the machane. Now, which machane? And then you burn it. So it says, Michutz Lamachane, sounds like you just burn it right outside the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Yotzei Michutz Lamachane v'sarfu. Lehalon, when it comes to the Par Helam Davishel Tzibur and the Par Kohen Mashiach, Lehalon Atanosin Lehem Shalosh Machanos. By the Par Helam Davar and the Par Kohen Mashiach, you burn them outside three machanos, outside Jerusalem, v'kan, but the bull and the goat of Kibbutz Anosin Lehem, machana achas. Here it only says Yotzei Michutz LaMachana, only one machana. But that can't be, because we know that the par and the sar of Yom Kippur are also chatos hapnimios, just like the par Kohen Mashiach and the par Helam Davishel Tzibur, and the Torah compares them for everything. The Torah compares them, we learn elsewhere that all these chatos, hapnimios, are all the same halacha. You have to burn all of them in the same place. So how come it says only one machane by the par and the sar of Yom Kippur if we know you got to burn them outside of all three machanos? Imkein, lama nema michutz lamachane. So why does it say only one machane? Lo malach. Kevan sheyotza chutz lamachane achas. Oh, once it leaves the Beis HaMikdash, Metamim begadim. That's what it says machanach is for. Even though you burn it outside three machnos, you burn it in the desert outside of Yushalayim, but it already becomes, you already become tameh, you and your begadim. If you're carrying it out, you become tameh, like Tanakama says, michutz lamachaneh, right outside the basement. There's lomalach, came chutz michutz lamachanachas, metamim begadim. Ask the Gemara, the Hasa Minalan, how do you know by the Par Kohen Mashiach and the Par Aida that you burn it outside three machanos? Says the Gemara, deciding we learn to the Braisa, Votzi es kol ha-par el michutz la-machane, chutz l'sholosh machanos, ato o michutz l'sholosh machanos, o eino ela, chutz l'machne achas, maybe it only means one machne. Kisha omer b'par ha'eda. So, by the par coin, Mashiach, it says el michutz l'machne. When it says by the par ha'eda, it says by the par helam davish shel tzibur, el michutz l'machne, she'ein tam alomar. I don't need the words michutz l'machne by the par helam davish shel tzibur. Sherei kfar nemar v'sarafas o kasher sarafas par rishon. It says that you burn the par helam davish shel tzibur the same as the par coin Mashiach. So you already know chutz la one machane. Ma tamad lo ma'al mi chutz la machane. So why does it say again? Li te lo machane shnia. That shows you got to go outside of a second machane. Kshu omer mi chutz la machane badeshen. When it comes to the taking out of the trumas the hotzas hadeshen, it says another mi chutz la machane. Shein tamad lo ma. You don't need it to say that there. Shari kfar nemar. It says by the parkoy Moshiach. It already says by the parkoin Mashiach that you would take it out to the place of the Shefech HaDeshen. So you already know it's going to be the place of the Deshen. So you know the Deshen is Michutz HaMachaneh. So why do I need another Michutz HaMachaneh by the Hotzoas HaDeshen? Tein lo Machaneh Shlishis. So that teaches me that you burn it outside of third Machaneh. So here we learn that all of the par manisrafim, the par and the sar of Yom Kippur, and the par helam davish el tzibor, and the par koin Mashiach, all four of those sacrifices, they're all compared that you burn them outside all three machanos. So the question is, Rabbi Shimon, now, Rabbi Shimon learns that the garments of the person burning them, he doesn't become tummy until after the fire already burns them. So he has an extra words, Michutz Lamachane, right? Tanakama learned from Michutz Lamachane that even though you burn them outside the three machnos, but you begot to become tummy when you leave the Beis HaMikdash. But Rabbi Shimon says the begot don't become tummy until you actually burn them. So what does he do with the Michutz Lamachane by the power? V'saya shel Yom HaKippurim. Rabbi Shimon, hi, michutz l'machane, my Ovid lay. What does he do with the michutz l'machane of the bull of Yom Kippur? Mibayulei, l'chadisani, Rabbi Lezer, Omer. Nemar kan, by the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur, it says michutz l'machane. V'nemar lahalon, by the para aduma. By the para aduma, it says, this week's parsha, what a daf yomi coincidence. Look at this. This week's parsha, mamish. Tomorrow we're going to learn these words. Nemar kan michutz l'machane v'nemar lahalon, and it says by the parah aduma. We're going to read these words tomorrow in parshas Chukas. Unisatem osa el elazar akin v'osi osa el michutz l'machane v'shachad osa lefanav. So we have a gzera shava. It says michutz l'machane by the par v'sar shiyom kippur, and it says michutz l'machane by the parah aduma. Ma kan chutz l'shalosh machanos. Just like the par Yom Kippur, you burn it outside all three machanos, like we learned earlier, af lahalon, so too the shchitas par aduma is chutz l'shalosh machanos. You shechted the par aduma outside Yerushalayim. Uma lahalon b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim. Just like the par aduma had to be done outside the eastern, towards the eastern gate, b'mizracha shel Yerushalayim. That, not the shchita, but the sprinkling of the blood was done towards El Pesach v'hizah. This week's parsha El Nochach Pnei Ol Moed, that you have to stand the opposite the Beis Hamikdash on the eastern side, and you're sprinkling the blood towards the opening of the Beis Hamikdash. Afkan, so too by the bull of Yom Kippur, you burn it b'mizracho shel Yerushalayim. On the east side of Yerushalayim. So asks the Gemara of Rabbanon, according to the Rabbanon who learned that from Michutz L'machane, that you become tummy, when you leave the Beis HaMikdash. So you don't use it for this, that it should be on the east. Hey chasarif lehu. So according to the Rabbanon, where would they burn the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur? Says the Gemara, kidisani, they disagree. We learned in a brayso that the chatos hapnimios that you burn them outside gil machnas hecha nisrafin. Where do you burn them? Says the Gemara, litzfona shel Yerushalayim. You'd burn them north of Yerushalayim. Like all of the other avodas of a carbon chatos are always done to the north. V'chutz l'shalosh machanos, outside Jerusalem, to the north. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Abes Hadesha Nisrafin. Rabbi Yossi says, no, all of those chatos hapnimios are burnt by the Beis Hadeshen. What's that? Just like we say by the Parkoin Mashiach, Al Shefach Hadeshen Yisarev, that you have to burn all the bulls in the place of the Shefach Hadeshen. What do you mean that? What do you mean by that? So he says that we don't use the pasuk to teach me that it has to be burnt on the north, but rather Abes Hadeshen Nisrafin. So he says that Rabbi Yossi says you have to burn the bull and the goat and the all of them, all the seirim hanisrafim, parim hanisrafim, and the seirim hanisrafim had to be burnt in a place where there were already ashes there. You have to burn the bulls in the place where there was already ashes there. Before you burn the bull there, you had to place ashes there. So it would be called Al Shefech Hadeshen Yisaref. You had to burn it in a place where there were already ashes. So Rabbi Yossi says you have to put ashes there. Sounds like Tanakhama says you don't have to already have ashes there. That's what the Gemara thinks at this point. So who's the Tanakhama? Amar Rava, man Tana de Pala Galei de Rabbi Yossi. Who's the author who says you don't already have to have ashes there when you're burning the bulls and the goats? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who? It's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The sign we learned in the Braisa. It says about the burning of the Parakot Mashiach, Al Shefach HaDeshen Yisaref, Sheyehei L'Sham Deshen, that there should already be ashes there, like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer, no, Sheyehei Mekomo Meshupach, it has to be burnt in a place, it has to be burnt in a place that it's on a slant. Mekomo Meshupach, a place that stuff pours down, that stuff is going to roll down, it's got to be on a hill. On an incline, so that when you pour out the deshen there, it will roll downwards. It'll come to a low place. So we see the Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you don't have to already have deshen there. So the Gemara says it's not true. I'm allowed by no. The Dilma ben Mekomo Meshupach Depliye. They argue about whether or not you need to have it on an incline, but they all agree that there has to be deshen. You have to have ashes there from beforehand. So we have no proof that this is the opinion that says you don't have to have a deshen there already. So now the Gemara is going to quote a brayso as far as the tumas begadim of the person burning the bull. Tana Rabbanan, v'hasoreif. This week's this is not this week's parasha. This is the parvasash yom kippurim. V'hasoreif osam nichabes begadav. The person who would burn the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur. So he becomes tamei, has to clean his garments. Vasoreif osam, hasoreif mitamei begadim. The guy involved in burning the bull and the goat, he becomes tamei, and his begadim becomes v'lo ametis ha'sa'ar. Not the guy who lit the fire. V'lo ha'misader ha'maracha. Not the guy who arranged the wood on the fire. But they're not. They weren't. Maybe somebody else was doing that. They weren't actually involved in burning the animal. It's only the person who's actually doing the burning of the animal itself, like the guy turning over the flesh, or he's actually tending to the fire at the time that it's burning, not the guy who set up the wood in the first place, or the guy who lit the fire in the first place. You might think, even after the bull and the goat already were totally burnt up and they became like ashes. So someone who was dealing with the burning at that time, after the body was already totally burnt up, it was already ashes, mitam begadim tam lomar, osam. Osam mitam begadim velomi shenasu efim tam begadim. If they were already totally burnt up, they would not be mitam begadim. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, hapar It says, Hapor Mitame Nitach Abasar Eno Mitame Begadim. But once the we don't know if it's got to still be a part to be mitame, but once the flesh is no longer there, it's not mitame. My benai, what's the difference in these two drushes? Ikbenad de Shavi Harocha. The difference would be if it still has a tsur of an animal, but it's completely charcoal. It's a charred animal. It didn't become ashes yet. According to Tanakama, so it would be mitame begadim because he's still called Hasorif Osam. It's not ashes yet. But according to Rabbi Lazar, it's got to be a par. He would not be mitame begadim because once it is totally charred, it's no longer called a par because you don't have any flesh on it. But it's not totally ashes. But once there's no more flesh, it's not called a par. So that would be a difference between Tanakam and Lazar Rabbi Shimon. Fine. New Mishnah. Last Mishnah of the sixth parak. So, when would the Kohen Gadol go back to his avoda? Right, we learned earlier on Samach Vav that after the Kohen Gadol sent out the goat to the Azazel, he's not allowed to continue doing the avoda until he would know that Saril Azazel would reach the desert. As the pasuk says, "Vishilaches asair bamidbar," and then "Veschel v'chatas yakter amizbecha." So how would he know? So they told the Kohen Gadol, the goat arrived to the Midbar, so now it's time to continue doing the Avoda of the day. You have to go read the Torah, we're going to see in a second, and he would have to go do the rest of the Avodas. So that's what Rashi says. However, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi, and the Rambam holds that right away, after he sent it out to the Midbar, right away, he could do the avodas right away, but specifically Kriyas HaTorah, he was not allowed to do until the goat got to the Midbar. And the reason they would wait until he got to the Midbar was only to be able to read the Torah. That's what the Rambam says. Rashi says he couldn't do anything. He couldn't do any avod until he got to the Midbar. And the Rambam says, no, only Kriyas HaTorah. So Rashi says this, that they waited for the Sardi, that's a din d'oraisa, according to Rashi. Mamish couldn't do the avoda. According to the Rambam, it's only a din d'rabbanan, only a special din by the Kriyas HaTorah. Says the Mishnah, Uminayah yodim shigi asar l'midbar. How would they know that the goat got to the Midbar? Dir kos hayu osin umnifim besudarim. So they had groups that they had symbols and they would wave flags in each area between Yerushalayim and the Tzuk. They would have groups of people that would send signals to each other by waving flags. And when the goat got to the Midbar, so the Shomer would wave his flag, and then the next guy would wave his flag, and the next guy would wave his flag until they got close to Yerushalayim. V'yodin shigi asar l'midbar. That's Tanakam's opinion. Rabbi Huda disagrees. I'm Rabbi Huda. Why they need the flags? Follow Simon Gadol Olam. Mi Yushalayim Vad Beis Chidudo. Shlosha Milan. No, they had a much better Simon. We know that the area until the beginning of the desert was 3 mil. And we learned, right? Right at the beginning of the desert, that was 3 mil. And we learned in the Mishnah earlier that the Yakira Yushalayim Holchin Mil, they would accompany him for 1 mil, Vichozrin Mil, and when they would come back to Yushalayim was 1 mil, Vishoin Kedei Mil, and they waited another mil. So they waited 3, so that was a total of 3 mil. And that's the amount of time it would take for the guy to get to this place called Beis Chidudo, which was 3 mil outside Jerusalem, V'yodin Sheikhi Asar L'Midbar. So they would know that it was a space of 3 mil. Again, it was 12 mil all the way to the Tzuk, but it was 3 mil just to get out into the desert. So they knew that it got to the desert, and once he got to the desert, he was able to continue the Avodah. Rabbi Yehuda is going to, we're going to see in the Gemara, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, once they got to the beginning of the Midbar, that's already called Nasis Mitzvaso, and that's called Veshilach Es Hasar Bamidbar. You don't have to wait all the way till the Tzuk. But according to Chachamim, we're going to learn in the Gemara, you had to wait all the way till the Tzuk. You had to wait all the way to the Tzuk. Oh, so let's see the continue the Mishnah. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, v'alosim en acher hoy lehem. Right? So again, Tanakama says, it sounds like Tanakama holds, from the simple reading of the Mishnah, it sounds like they had flags. Tanakama says they would use flags to determine when he got to the Midbar. Rabbi Yehuda says it was just 3 mil till he got to the Midbar, so they had a symbol of waiting. They knew it was 1 mil, so the amount of time it took them to walk to the first booth, and on the amount of time it took them to walk back, and they waited that same amount of time, so they knew 3 mil. And Rabbi Shmuel Omer, v'alosim en acher hoy lehem. No, we had a different symbol. Lashon shel zahoris, hayakasha apisla shel heichal. There was a crimson ribbon on the entrance to the base of Midrash. Shigi asar l'minbar. When the goat got to the desert, Ayaloshin Malbin, it would turn white. Shneamar im yuchatim kashem kashel galbinu. If it would turn white, when your sins, if I'm going to forgive your sins, they're going to turn white. Now, why did Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda argue on Rabbi Shmuel? Why wouldn't use the crimson? Isn't the crimson thread turning white? Wouldn't that be a good simon? So the Tosis Yantif writes that they used to tie the crimson onto the entrance to the base of Midrash, but then they saw that sometimes it wouldn't turn white, so people would get upset. So they instituted that it would go on the inside, right? And then people would still sneak inside. So then they said you would tie half it on the rack and half it between the between the animals. So according to that, so this is talking after that takana, and therefore, therefore maybe you're right. Maybe when they still had the Lashon Shel Zahoris, Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda would agree to Rabbi Shmuel that you could rely on the Lashon Shel Zahoris. So that's one explanation. The Pnei Moshe writes, Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda hold that since that simon wasn't set, so therefore they didn't want to rely on it. The Tiferes Yisrael says the Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda hold that you can't rely on the crimson thread because sometimes the crimson thread wouldn't turn white. How you rely on the crimson thread? Sometimes it wouldn't turn white, so how could you rely on it? Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So Rav Yashiv writes that they must have had another simon for years that it wouldn't turn white. They had another simon. So Rav Yashiv also writes that Tanakam Rehud holds you can't rely on the crimson thread because sometimes it would turn white before it got to the Midbar. And therefore you have to have another simon. But Rabbi Shmuel holds you could rely on the chazaka that usually it would only turn white once it got to the Midbar. Okay, let's continue. So says the Gemara, Amar Bai, Shma Mina Beis Chiduda b'Midbar Kaima. So we see this place called Beis Chiduda was in the desert. V'Hakamash Malan deKasav Rabbi Yehuda given Shki Asar l'Midbar Nasis Mitzvaso. Rabbi Yehuda holds you don't have to wait all the way till it gets to the Tzuk. It's enough just to, that was 12 mil, right? But, or 10 mil, we had different opinions, but certainly not 3. So we see from this, Rabbi Yehuda holds that once it got to the Midbar, it's already called Nasis Mitzvah, so you don't have to wait till it gets to the cliff and it's thrown off the cliff for the Kohen to continue his avoda. But Tanakama holds, no, that it actually had to get all the way out to the Tzuk in order for him to continue to do the avoda. Okay. Hadron Alach Shnei Seirei Izim. We finished the sixth parak. We now begin the seventh parak of Maseches Yuma. Says the Mishnah, Bala Kohen Gadol Likros. So then the Kohen Gadol would come to the Ezras Nashim to read from the Torah of the parashas of the day. Im Ratzon Likros a Big Day Butz, Kori, if he wanted to read with the white garments, which he was still wearing, he could read them. Vim Lav, Kori Be'itzdalis Lavan Mishelo. He's even allowed to use his own white garment because this was not one of the avodas of the day. It wasn't an avoda. And therefore, he was allowed to read in whatever begadim he wanted to. Chazan HaKnesses, the shamish of the shul, that there was a shul in the Har HaBayis right near the Azara, Notel Sefer Torah, he would take a Sefer Torah, V'nosna L'Rosh HaKnesses, he would give it to the rabbi of the shul, V'Rosh HaKnesses Nosna L'Skan, he would give it to the assistant Kohen Gadol, V'Askan Nosna L'Kohen Gadol, V'Kohen Gadol Omen U'Mekabel, V'Kore, he would read the Avodas Yom HaKippurim from Parshas Achrimos, V'Ach Be'Osar, and in Parshas Emor, he would read the Parshas of Yom Kippur, V'Golel Sefer Torah Manicha B'Chiko, he would close the Sefer Torah and carry it, V'Omer Yosef Mashkorosim Nen Kosov Kan. More than I read in the Sefer Torah today is written in this Sefer Torah. You shouldn't think that that's all that's written here. Uve'asar shebechumash apikudim kore alpeh. But they wouldn't roll it all the way to Bamidbar. So from Parshas Pinchas, that he would read by heart. Right, Rashi and Bava Basra writes that the Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur would read from the Sefer Azara, the Sefer Torah that was in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rishash writes that was only in Bayis Sheni they would read from this one from the shul because there was no longer any Aron. But the Sefer Torah itself, they moved it to the shul. Right. But in the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, the Rishash writes that the Sefer Torah was in the Aron. They would not use this Sefer. They would use a different Sefer. Because it's also to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim just to take out the Sefer Torah. There's some question in the Achronim about whether or not maybe when the Kohen Gadol went in to take out the Kaf and the Machta, or when he went in to sprinkle the blood, he would walk out and take the Sefer Torah with him. There's some discussion about that. Good question. We're going to talk about that. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. So apparently, under certain circumstances, you can. Great question, Dr. Joe. Because we wouldn't be this tircha de tzibura. It's a tircha de tzibura to roll it all the way to Bamidbar, so we read it by heart. So some pashas like Dr. Joe, you're allowed to read, let's say, the Karbanos in the morning by heart. If it serves another function, then you're allowed to read it by heart. So here, we're serving the function to tell everybody to make sure they did the avoda the right way. So it served another function. And the Gemara later on, Daf Ayin Joe, is going to say why they didn't just bring another Sefer Torah and have it rolled to the right place. And why is there no Isser? We're going to learn later on why there was no Isser over here to read it by heart. Great question. Umevarech alea shmona brachos. You would make 8 brachos on this after the reading. Ala Torah, ala Voda, ala Hoda, they would say Modim, al Mechil, ba'al Mechilas Avon. On the forgiveness of Al Hamikdash b'fnei Atzmo, a bracha for the Beis Hamikdash, Al Yisrael b'fnei Atzmon, bracha on Klai Yisrael, Al Yushalayim b'fnei Atzmo, Al Kohanim b'fnei Atzmon, Al Shara Tefillah. Then they would make a general bracha for all the other things that were needed for Klai Yisrael. Haroi Kongaluk Shikori, Ein Haroi Parvasarv and Nisrafim. If you ever saw the Kongalu reading the Torah in the Azara on Yom Kippur, you couldn't also see the bull and the goat being burnt outside Jerusalem, because Varo Pavisar and Israel and Rao Kohen Gadol Shukori Velom of Neshein Rashai, not that you weren't allowed to see both of them, El Shai Zederech Rechoka, Umelech Hashem Shavan Ka'achas. It was a long way in between them, and they were both done at the same time. Midiktani Be'itzlis Lavin Mishalo, Michlal, Decree Lava Vodi. From the fact that he could wear whatever he wanted, we see that the reading of the parishes was not considered part of the Avodas of the day. Then he would have had to wear the Big Day Kuna. Uktani imrotza likros Big Day Butz. Kore. But yet he's allowed to use the Big Day Kuna. Shamas mina, Big Day Kuna, nitnu lehanas ben. You're allowed to get hana and wear them even shelo b'shas avoda. Says Gemara, no, dilma shani kriya ditzorech avodahi. In itself is not an avoda, but it's for the sake of the avoda. It's to help us make sure that we did the avoda properly. So therefore you're allowed to wear the Big Day Kuna, even though it's not itself mamish navoda. Di Bailan, Big Day Kuna, Nitnu Lehanas Ben, Alone Nitnu Lehanas Ben. Are you allowed to benefit from them not b'shas avoda tashma? Lo hayu yishen in b'bigdei kodesh, they wouldn't sleep in them. Shenu d'loha meichel achli, but maybe they're allowed to eat in them. So the Gemara, d'lma shana achil etzorech avoda. Eating is also, you have to have the strength to be able to do the avoda. K'desane, also not just that, because when you eat the karbanos, so b'ilam miskaprim. K'desane, we learned in the b'raisa, v'achlu osam asher kupar b'ayim alamin, sha'kohanim ochlam, when the kohanim would eat from the besar of their karbanos, even though it's not an avoda, b'ilam miskaprim, so it is an avoda. So that would achieve the kapara for the b'ilam. Says the Gemara, Shena hu delo ha hiluchim ahalche, but just to walk in them would be okay. Says the Gemara, no. Bedinu di hiluchin amilo. Maybe you're not even allowed to walk around in them. Sefer strichale. We needed to tell me the issur of sleeping, because that what it says in the end of that Mishnah. They would take them off and fold them up and place them under their heads to sleep at the time of the sleep. Once they took them off, so there's no problem of passing gas or whatever, even though they were underneath their heads. Okay. So we're going to learn. Okay, so we'll learn... doesn't that sound like you're allowed to benefit from them? Okay, that's already tomorrow's half. Okay, Rabosai, have a wonderful day. We'll come back to this, Bez Hashem, tomorrow night after Shabbos. Bez Hashem, I hope to... I don't know how long I have Shabbos, Shabbos, Baruch, and Far Rockaway. It may take me a few minutes, but when I get home, it should be a few minutes after Shabbos that I'll be able to give the daf. Everyone should have a wonderful day. Have a great Shabbos.